This is Agenda Awani. My name is Ibrahim Sani. And just like that, we are back in yet another MCO. Because of this, we must continue to think about how to remain productive. And while there are plenty of productivity tools out there, one would argue that Google and its tools remain everyone's choice to work with. Because of this, I have with me, joining us, Mark Wu, the Managing Director of Google Malaysia. Mark, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. This is, of course, our second time speaking in the nearest of months. How are you right now?
I'm well, thank you. And thanks for having me again, Ibrahim. And let me first start off by saying Ramadan Mubarak, and I hope everyone is staying safe during these challenging times.
Thanks for the kind wishes, Mark. And of course, it comes at a very important time right now. There's a lot of MCOs that have been announced. Johor Bahru, for instance, KL, all that has just been announced just minutes ago. And of course, we know that Google Malaysia supports robust economic recovery efforts in Malaysia. You folks empower micro and small and medium-sized enterprises and are helping MSMEs move forward in this digital economy. So my question to you would be more of the effects that it has on the pandemic. So what effect has the pandemic had on our digital economy? And in your opinion, are there any opportunities that we can look forward to as we embark on this economic recovery?
Yeah, so, you know, the pandemic has led to big accelerated shifts. And, you know, fact is, life just isn't the same anymore, right? But my biggest silver lining is the resiliency and the creativity of Malaysians who generally have turned to the internet to work more effectively, to learn, to grow their business, and to stay in touch with loved ones. And, you know, if I were to pull data, and we like to, you know, make decisions and provide insights based on data, we published our annual e-economy report that revealed some striking insights. Allow me to go through some of them. Number one is 1/3 of all Malaysians tried new digital services for the first time. And majority of them, 92% of them, will, according to them, say that they'll continue to use these digital services when the pandemic is over. So e-commerce or food delivery, you know, the behavior is here to stay, COVID or not. And the second insight is, you know, almost 60% of these new users, they come from non-urban areas in Malaysia. And this demonstrates a strong connectivity, yes, the savviness of Malaysian consumers, and mostly highlights the big potential of the digital economy beyond Klang Valley. Now, the opportunities of the digital economy in Malaysia is where, you know, Google aims to support, to make it more of a reality and to ultimately advance together. And we want to do this by leaving, you know, literally no one behind, no Malaysian behind, supporting all groups, micro SMEs, women entrepreneurs, the underserved communities, you know, to help them get the right digital skill sets. So while this sector is booming, we are conscious of also ensuring we build a digitally responsible ecosystem, you know, with privacy and safety at the core. We continue to, you know, commit to work with the news industry, like the likes of Astro, and publishers alike to accelerate their digital journey. And lastly, enable teachers and educators to continue their noble work via the nation's Dilemma program, our marquee partnership with the Ministry of Education. So super proud that we've enabled lessons to continue virtually. And we've got over 3 million active students and teachers on Google Classroom. But this is another topic for another day.
Of course, it's important that while Google is addressing the needs of the various segments, including the teachers and all that, it's important for us to understand that the micro SMEs, women entrepreneurs, the underserved communities are all the various segments that is going to drive not just the digital economy, but the economy per se. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit more about how these various segments shape our recovery for Malaysia.
Yeah, so, you know, you rightly pointed out the various communities, and let me touch upon the micro SMEs, right? So the micro SMEs, you know, the group of companies there, they comprise of 98% of all total businesses in Malaysia, and they contribute to 40% of our GDP. Means, you know, when these set of companies or businesses go online, they serve their customers faster, and many may argue better, right? So this increases demand and in turn generates a higher uplift in our economy. So we look at this in three ways, akin to, you know, the fishing rod and the teaching analogy. So number one is provide them with free and easy to use tools to help these businesses grow even more online. Number two is provide free and easy to comprehend training programs. And number three, coming together with public and private sectors, forging partnerships with the likes of AirAsia, MDEC, and Nestle to ultimately help more Malaysians across multiple communities.
We're going to be discussing more about the collaborations and the partnerships that you're having later in the show. But for now, in our pursuit to build a more robust digital economy, it's important for us to look at digital skills training programs, Google.org grants, and other tools such as Google My Business, Google Shopping, YouTube, Maps, and so much more. And as you have rightly pointed out, there's a need for businesses to shift their approach and go digital in order to not only survive, but to also thrive in this challenging climate. But not all of them, Mark, have the kind of resources, considering that they may be feeling the pinch themselves or undergoing through some other economic hardships. Like I said, MCO is never going to leave us until everybody's vaccinated, and God knows when that's going to take place. So taking this into account, could you tell us a little bit more about some of the tools that Google has that can help these folks, perhaps even tools that not many of us are familiar with?
Yeah, so, you know, before I get into the tools, right, allow me to set the scene that is perhaps not too unfamiliar in this current climate. E-commerce, so the e-commerce growth in Malaysia, 87% year on year. It is the fastest growing sector in Malaysia compared to, you know, the other countries in Southeast Asia. And I hear you that many could be limited in terms of resources to jump on the e-commerce bandwagon, but there are a couple of powerful free-to-use tools that we offer. So it's two of them, Google Shopping, as well as small and medium-sized retailers to list their products on Google Shopping. And we noticed that SMEs that do so saw huge increase in views, sites visits, as well as their sales. So an example that I will quote is from Bloomdis. So Bloomdis is an online floral company that literally went on Google Shopping. Now, for Google My Business, again, it's a free tool that allows businesses to connect with customers on Google Search and Maps. And if you think about, like, as more Malaysians use Search and Maps, they are finding more and more reliable information on businesses through Google My Business. So last year, on average, every month, we noticed 44 million direct customer-to-business connections. And these connections are the likes of phone calls, requests for directions, messages, bookings, and reviews. So think about the days of, you know, flyers versus the immediate and effective medium that we have today online.
A lot of what you were mentioning, particularly search, is critical moving forward. And of course, the whole world knows that search and Google are synonymous. And we all know that there are plenty of opportunities to expound upon, particularly if you're a small enterprise or a micro enterprise that you can leverage on search. So how would you think businesses come to know about becoming more discoverable on search to improve their SOE, so to speak?
So, you know, I'll offer my personal opinion on this. You know, Google Search is one of my favorite products, simply because it helps me and everyone discover anything, right? And the information there is credible. We make it more and more credible over time. And Malaysians use search more and more to discover products and services, learn about the quality, and get real-time information on, you know, proximity and opening times of a particular business, for example. So therefore, for a business to be more discoverable on search, I think it's almost essential. And here are the tips. And the best part of it is, again, it's free, right? So number one is around Google Trends. Trends show what Malaysians are searching for on search. And as a barometer of consumer intent, what's popular and what's not. And Google Search Console helps you find out, you know, top searches that lead to your website traffic, that lead to your website, how your online business is ranked on Google, and which page within your website is popular. Then there is, you know, a plethora of useful case studies and resources at our Think with Google website. And if I were to use an example again, an SME example, Delori. So Delori, you know, during MCO, they experienced a 70% decrease in their business. So the founders looked at Google Trends, and very early on, they realized a surging demand for online groceries and deliveries. So they used this data and they pivoted their business into online groceries and deliveries to meet the consumer demand in Malaysia.
Regarding YouTube, because Malaysians are all too familiar with this product, and at the same time, there are plenty more to learn more about YouTube and to expound on the possibilities of working with YouTube to be a little bit more productive and profitable. In fact, we also know that a lot of Malaysians are turning to the platform to earn not just a side income, but a steady income. What are your views on this?
I'm glad you asked the question. So, you know, YouTube has become a staple for me and my family. And I dare say that, you know, most Malaysians are tuning into YouTube as a form of entertainment, education, and inspiration gathering platform, and rightly so, right, because of the content. But here's a different perspective. It is a now become a cultural platform. Malaysians make a living because that's the reach. You know, it reaches 19 million Malaysians aged 18 plus, and that's two-thirds of the ecosystem. And the creator ecosystem is flourishing. We have 70 channels that have over a million subscribers and close to 1,000 channels with over 100,000 subscribers. So personally, you know, I've been very inspired by many creative Malaysians who took to YouTube to discover and learn new skills and to create, you know, new business opportunities for themselves. So I want to share one story. Farid Adil Maddin. Farid is a deaf barber. And he learned how to cut hair by solely watching tutorials on YouTube. So in his home state of Perak, he took the leap in opening up his own barber shop right after he learned, you know, a couple of tips and tricks. So in individuals like Farid, I feel, embodies the spirit of resiliency as well as creativity. And then, you know, we have the likes of Sugu Pavitra, who shares her recipes online and became a sensation, right, in Malaysia. In less than 1 year, she's almost gotten 1 million subscribers on her channel and clearly making a living from posting content on YouTube.
Fantastic. Those are stories that Malaysians are very much all too familiar with. And of course, there's a lot more opportunities to be had there. We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about powering the digital economy, particularly from and amongst the SMEs. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back. This is Agenda Awani. We are with Mark Wu of Google Malaysia. Mark, there's a national objective to become a digitally powered economy, but digital talent is still a key hurdle to overcome. And this is made even more difficult with the plenty of COVID-19 restrictions surrounding us with no end in sight. In your view, what can be done here to help businesses gain access to digital talent? But there's a second half to this question, which is, what about those that have limited resources and perhaps don't even know where to start, Mark?
So I'll use back the fishing rod and the teaching analogy. And as a result, training has been our priority. And training through Mahi Digital Bersama Google Initiative has been a success for us. And when we launched this, prior to us launching this, you know, we also noticed that more and more Malaysians are keen to learn about like new skill sets. They're keen to learn about how to thrive on digital, right? An example would be, you know, I'll use search as a barometer of consumer intent again. Malaysians searching for online learning grew more than 2x year over year, right? So it's clearly a want and it's clearly a need. And, you know, I mentioned our program has been a success so far. We have trained over 15,000 Malaysians on digital skill sets. We make our training materials simple and comprehensible for Malaysians from all walks of life. Small business owners to help them build their online presence and to find new customers. So developers in this case are not, you know, the property kind, but more the the programming kind, to basically sharpen their current skills to be more globally competitive. And then you have the startups. We help them turn their ideas into more sustainable businesses. And then last but not least, students and teachers to help them continue learning and teaching in the virtual world. And we also built an app called Google Primer. It's free to use. It's bite-sized so that anyone at any time can learn on the go.
See, the thing about this is that there's plenty of tools and most of it is free to use and people want to get familiar with. But besides the Google tools and upskilling efforts that Google has put into place, Google.org itself has also announced several grants to help further drive economic recovery. And not many people know this, in fact, if you think about it. So specifically, among the underserved communities, they are being addressed by this Google.org. So could you share with us a little bit more about these grants that has been announced and perhaps some other plans that might also be in the pipeline?
I would love to, Ibrahim. Thanks for bringing that up. So, you know, through our philanthropic arm, Google.org, we provided close to 14 million ringgit in funding, particularly to the Asia Foundation to help the underserved community. So women-led, small and micro businesses, people with disabilities, unemployed youth, to essentially gain better digital literacy skills. So the modules include, you know, creating online profiles on professional network platforms, getting better at doing business on digital platforms, as well as maximizing their employability. We also provided additional grants to Youth Business International with exactly the same intentions.
We've covered a lot about Google Malaysia, about Google at large as a company. I just want to change tack here. I just want to change gears. Because Google operates in an ecosystem, we know that the digital scene requires a lot of collaboration amongst participants of a highly vibrant ecosystem, and the process of recovery is a massive undertaking, the economic recovery, I mean. And even for a company as big as Google, I'm sure it'll be a daunting task for you guys. But talk through us how Google forms partnerships that is beneficial to the participants of this digital ecosystem, perhaps some partners locally that might be of interest.
Sure. But first, you know, I just want to say that we're not big at all. We are still in day one, and we still have the startup mentality. But having said that, I agree with you, Ibrahim. No person is an island. And if we want to succeed, we got to go at it together. No frenemies, just partners and collaborators. One sector that I want to bring up is the tourism. And tourism is the GDP contribution. You know, over 3 million people here in Malaysia. So what we did was very early on, we collaborated with MoTeC, MDEC, as well as Mata, where we launched a special series for businesses in these sectors, you know, travel agencies and so on and so forth, to help them pivot their traditional businesses to the online space. So that's one example. Another example is we collaborated with Maggi, Nestle, to launch a program called Wanita Cukup Berani. We launched this in September 2020, where we want to inspire women and give them the know-how on doing business online and to get better in their careers. So essentially, we want to narrow the gender gap. And it's been, you know, a reception has been great. Over 1,000 participants where we educate them on leadership. We inspire them with great case studies, women entrepreneurs who succeed. We teach them on business acumen, communication, as well as digital marketing. And last but not least, you know, with AirAsia, Ready Academy, and where we help mainly Malaysians who either want to future-proof their careers or the unemployed to gain new relevant skill sets. So it started with AirAsia wanting to retrain their staff, and together we extended this program to the public. So personally, I'm very proud to have the public and private sector leaning in, and you know, it ultimately shows the joint spirit to help the nation get back on track.
Fantastic. Those are noble efforts, and I'm sure it's an ongoing one. And 2021 is going to be a bit trickier than we earlier thought because of the prolonged COVID situation. But final question, Mark, before we adjourn this conversation. As mentioned at the top of the show, we are yet in another MCO in and around the country. Targeted MCO, enhanced MCO, what have you. And for many Malaysians in the Klang Valley, in Johor Bahru and all the other areas that are currently undergoing MCO, they are undergoing through a very tough time. And while this is not a surprise, the announcement of MCOs left and right, but it is also a stark reminder of the conditions that we are all living right now. What message would you like to share with Malaysians out there that will have to brave through these very challenging times?
So, you know, there are a lot of dimensions to this, Ibrahim. I think first and foremost, be safe. You know, err on the side of caution. Follow the SOPs. And essentially take care of your loved ones. That's number one. And number two is, even if you are working from home, working in the office, there is a high chance, and we saw this like through our employees, as well as you know, our partners' employees, right? There's a high chance that burnout and the impact on well-being is even more accentuated during this time. So take particular care on maintaining a well-balanced lifestyle, work and life, well-balanced diet, exercise, and so on and so forth, right? And then lastly, I think, you know, this pandemic has allowed us to also reflect, right? Reflect on what the future, immediate future is going to be. How we can personally, individually, as well as companies, right, start pivoting towards what will be relevant in the next 5 to 10 years. And we spoke about training. We spoke about all the free tools. We spoke about collaboration, you know, forge that community, find like-minded partners, and ultimately, you know, upskill yourself, upskill your company, pivot in the right manner, and, you know, help the economy get back on track.
Thank you, Mark. Sound advice. That was Mark Wu, Managing Director of Google Malaysia. I am Ibrahim Sani, and you've been watching Jendawani.